ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You see why they're jumping on this bandwagon so much? This is a golden opportunity for them to enact a global government, to enact the ability to control the people of this world. The threat of climate change has been more gradual than COVID-19, but it's devastating reality for many people and their livelihoods around the world, and its ever greater potential to disrupt surpasses even that of COVID-19, Prince Charles said. Of course, these government officials, activists, and influencers can impose a systemic change of this size on their own, which is why they've already started to activate vast networks of left-wing activists from around the world who will throughout 2021 demand changes in line with the Great Reset and true on into 2022. Prince Charles was right. The present pandemic is a golden opportunity for radical change. And if Al Gore, Prince Charles, and the rest of the World Economic Forum can convince enough people that attempting to stop climate change is also worth dramatically pushing humanity toward greater government control, then radical and catastrophic change is exactly what we're going to get. Absolutely. You know, climate change has been used and will continue to be used to promote global government. Even though it hasn't worked real well, you know, most people aren't buying into it yet. But I think as leaders make decisions to promote laws regarding climate change, businesses and the common people are going to have to join in. Now, Terry James said this. He said, there should be no question now in spiritually attuned minds of Bible prophecy students. The principalities and powers in high places of Ephesians 6:12 are in full throttle mode. They intend to use the presidential election theft to galvanize their One World Tower building effort. Global warming didn't do it. Following that lie, the climate change ruse hasn't done it. Now, with more than 4 years of inflicting every sort of deception and coup attempt by the globalist wickedness, they are all in for changing planet Earth into their own utopian concept. And we have to understand, they think this is for the good of the people. They're not doing this because they're think it's going to be bad. They think this is a good thing. And we'll talk about that. But having a global government, where else are you going to go if you don't like it? The Great Reset is thrusting ahead in 2021, seemingly unstoppable, while it threatens to pierce the fabric of our culture and society the founding fathers wove together so carefully back in 1776. You think about this. Our government is one of the longest standing governments around. Our Constitution has lasted a long time, right? Since 1776? Wow, that's impressive. You know, Italy's been through I don't know how many different, you know, forms of government. But ours stood the test of time. Why? Because they based it on the Bible. And they realized that if this nation turns from Christianity, it's no longer going to survive. And they were 100% right, 100% right. Again, Charles Schwab, he said this, a new world could emerge, the contours of which it is incumbent on us to reimagine and to redraw. He is at the forefront of putting this thing together. He's one of the big guys. And he wants to reset the way this world functions. Think about that. In a world like that, where we're in a global government, we have to agree with all the laws of this global government. What if they said, well, you can't use the Bible anymore. If you use the Bible, it's got to be a version that we approve of, so we're going to have to edit it. It can happen. Go look at what they're doing in Canada about teaching against homosexuality. It can happen very easily, guys. This is where we're at, and this is what they're trying to do. And again, if you think about this, when Hitler was in power, people fled, right, to other nations where they could be free, where they could be free from what Hitler was trying to do, exterminate them. But if there's a global government, where do you go? See, it's a little different. And that's what people don't understand. Our forefathers knew that less government was better. The people were to be in control. They were, and here's the thing. The church was to be actively involved in the workings of the government, but the government was not to have its claws or hands in the workings of the church. They used Thomas Jefferson's letter that he wrote to the Danbury Baptists, because the Danbury Baptists believed Thomas Jefferson was going to make a certain denomination, the state church. And they didn't want that. They left England because they didn't want the government in control of what they did. So he wrote him a letter, and he said that the government is to stay out of the church, but the church is to be involved in the government. And that was taken to court on several occasions. And they read the whole letter of Thomas Jefferson until one day they only read part of the letter in this court case. They said that the separation between church and state, that the wall has to be high and impenetrable. And they said, thus, the church is not to be involved with the state. And we lost that case because they only read part of the letter. And look at what's happened. Look at what's happened in our school system. We've taken the Bible out. We've taken prayer out. You go look back when that happened in the 1960s, and you see the devastating effects that have happened in our school system because of that. You see, we're to be witnesses because our nation, is not a Christian nation anymore. We're a post-Christian era. But you know what? God can change things. And that's what we pray for. And again, many people don't see this as a problem, but I see it as a huge one. Let me share this video with you from Prince Charles. Listen to what he has to say here.
We have an incredible opportunity to create entirely new sustainable industries, investing in nature as the true engine of our economy.
The current global crisis has disrupted every aspect of our lives, but it has also presented us with an extraordinary opportunity, a chance to reset and accelerate efforts to improve the state of our world.
Changing our current trajectory will require bold and imaginative action, together with determination and decisive leadership. In order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model, putting people and planet at the heart of global value creation. If there is one critical lesson we have to learn from this crisis, we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. We are on the verge of catalytic breakthroughs that will alter our view of what is possible and profitable within the framework of a sustainable future. We need nothing short of a paradigm shift, one that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace. We simply cannot waste any more time. The only limit is our willingness to act. And the time to act is now.
It's interesting what he said. What are we to focus on? What is the focus? Nature. Well, I think that's our problem. We're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Our focus needs to be God. And that's the thing. And again, this is tugging at the hearts of people. Well, of course, look at the people, look at the animals, look at the plants. We got to take care of them. God said we are to take care of this planet, but we're not to worship the creation. We're to worship the creator. And I'll tell you what, you look at our nation and how we're doing things and how we're preventing pollution, and then you go to China. or India? Why aren't they going against them? Is that interesting? The reason being is because America can no longer be a world power. We got to be taken down, and that's what they're working on. I shared this video with you before. It's from their plan for the 2030, the United Nations, their 2030 agenda, or Agenda 21, that they want implemented by 2030. And I'm going to read what it's saying because people listening on the radio won't be, there's only music, I think, to it. So I will just say what's being said, so don't let that distract you. But watch what's going on here. 8 predictions for the world in 2030. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent, and it'll be delivered by drone. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. A handful of countries will dominate. You won't die waiting for an organ donor. We won't transplant organs, we'll print new ones instead. You'll eat meat much less. An occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and for our health. 1 billion people will be displaced by climate change. We will have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees. Polluters will have to pay emit carbon dioxide. There will be a global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history. You could be preparing to go to Mars. Scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space, the start of a journey to find alien life. Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. Checks and balances that underpin our democracies must not be forgotten. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, talking about going to Mars, well, we're already out of this world here in this nation, right? How crazy it is. But isn't it interesting that the U.S. won't be a world power anymore? This is from the United Nations telling us that you are not going to be a world power. And don't we see that happening quickly? Wow. You know, these are predictions, 8 predictions by the United Nations for 2030. It blows your mind away when you think about this. I'm going to share this with you about one world government. Kind of get ready for less freedom and prosperity and a lot more government. And isn't that what we see happening in our country? More and more government things to control our lives. We're told this, after peddling coronavirus lockdowns that crush the economy and funding riots that terrorize the public under the guise of fighting systemic racism, deep state globalists are stepping in to offer their proposed solution to the crisis they themselves unleashed. A great reset to transform the world and everything in it, supposedly for the benefit of the masses, but really for the benefit of the ruling classes. Top leaders of big business, big globalism, and big government worldwide, including royalty and mass-murdering communist tyrants, are jumping on the bandwagon. But even before the scheme is fully outlined and understood, resistance is growing quickly. The brainchild of the World Economic Forum, a globalist group of powerful deep state elites that meets every year in the Swiss ski resort town of Davos, the Great Reset, aims to fundamentally re-engineer industries, societies, education, agriculture, and more. Business and economic changes will be massive, Schwab explained. The Great Reset will require us to integrate all stakeholders of global society into a community of common interest, purpose, and action, explained Schwab, the globalist front man who runs the World Economic Forum. Isn't that interesting? We are going to have a common interest, purpose, and action. We don't even have common interest, right? You mean to tell me I can't have my own ideas of what I like and don't like? But yeah, we are controlling every aspect of your life. That's what they want to do. We need a change of mindset, moving from short-term to long-term thinking, moving from shareholder capitalism to stakeholder responsibility. Environmental, social, and good governance have to be measured part of a corporate and governmental accountability. In short, what remains of the tattered free market system is set to be tossed out, along with the vibrant middle class it sustained. In its place will rise technocratic governance based on nebulous social and environmental goals set by the technocrats. This is what they're shooting for. This is what they're going after. When I talked about this years ago, people laughed. But it's coming. In fact, those who, like Prince Charles, he said, in order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model and put people and planet at the heart of global creation. And if there is one critical lesson to learn from this crisis, it is that we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. Yeah, that's what we talked about. His father was even more blunt. He's advocated killing large numbers of people. He said, in the event that I'm reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation. You just scratch your head at that stuff. You go, why would you? You could think it all you want, but would you actually say it? Prince Charles' father. So that we're talking years ago. This is the idea. Obviously, the population is too much. We have leaders who have said that we got to bring the world population down. Some feel to down to, like, I think it was 500,000 people. We're at 8 billion. Can you imagine? How are they going to control what we do and how much of the things we're using? They're going to control us by all the devices we have. Personal carbon allowance. How far did you drive today? How much carbon emissions did you emit? What about cows? Do you have any cows in your barn? Because we could charge you for that. Isn't it interesting how they want to control, again, every aspect of your life? And what happens to farmers? You eliminate your local farmers and you have big business producing everything. It is interesting. And this isn't a game. It's not some kind of conspiracy theory. It's not fake news. And it's not because I've said it or the articles I've read. It's the Bible's told us. You know, you can look at Daniel chapter 2 and the gold, the image, multi-metallic image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. The head of gold, the Babylonian Empire, chest and arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire, the thighs of bronze, the Grecian, legs of iron, the Roman Empire, and then the feet and the 10 toes of clay, iron mixed with clay, revived Roman Empire, which we see coming together today. And I've shared with you this before, but you can go check this out. Back in 1968, the Club of Rome had its beginnings and had leaders from 10 different countries gathering together. And they gathered together for solutions to the world's problems. And their claim was that they had the answers for peace and prosperity for the world. No, great. What is it? Well, back on September 17th, 1973, the Club of Rome released this report, a real regionalized and adaptive model of the global world system. And this is what it looks like, divided up into 10 kingdoms. And if you look at how North America is divided up, you've got Canada, the United States, and Mexico. It's the free trade agreements that we've made. The world's divided up. This is the revived Roman Empire. This is the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 2. And very interesting when you go back and you listen to what world leaders have said. Henry Kissinger said this back on July 18th, 1993. And he said, what Congress will have before it is not a conventional trade agreement, but the architecture of a new international system, a first step toward a new what? World order. That was in 1993. This was the first step. This is the beginnings of what they want to do. That phrase, new world order, is speaking of a one world government. People from, we've got a world government summit, and it's coming together before our eyes. And I'll just share some things that world leaders again have said. This is David Rockefeller. He said, we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis and the nations will accept the new world order. Isn't that fascinating? A crisis. Could it be like COVID? Yeah, it could be. It could be anything. Could it be like the World Trade Towers being, you know, hit with airplanes and come tumbling to the ground? Yes. President Bush enacted the American Patriot Act, where he had all kinds of laws put in that most of them are still in play today. Didn't go against our freedom. Our current president, Joe Biden, 1992, how I learned to love what? The New World Order. You see, these guys are just primed for this. They got the right people in place. And we're moving very quickly towards a one-world government. And again, it's not because these leaders are trying to do it. This is what God has said is going to happen. And he will use these leaders to put this stuff together. And that's exactly what we see happening. And again, many don't want to see this happen. Many are going to try and fight against it. But Richard Gardner, who was the top advisor to President Jimmy Carter and ambassador to Italy, said this back in April 1974, in an issue of the Council on Foreign Relations. Listen to what he said. He said, "The House of World Order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. An end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish more than the old-fashioned frontal assault." Wow. Isn't that interesting? Now it's a frontal assault. Back then, they're trying to erode away our sovereignty, destroy our Constitution by ignoring it. But now they don't have to do that anymore. Now it's in your face. This is what we're doing in you. If you don't like it, tough. I'm going to New York to fly out to Russia, hopefully in a few weeks here. But my flight back from Russia was canceled, so the only flight they had would have got me back in New York at like 5:20, and my flight to go next to Detroit before I came back to Wisconsin was at 5:30. Well, I'm at JFK. There is no way I'm going to have 10 minutes to get off the plane and make it to the next plane. So I'm thinking, what if I have to stay in New York? I'm thinking, well, it's a good thing I got the vaccination because I wouldn't be allowed to. Is that crazy? You couldn't even stay in a hotel. Let me see your ID card. Really? Yeah, that's how bad it is. This is from James Warburg. He was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, and he said this back, the Council on Foreign Relations was formed on July 29th, 1921. He said this on February 17th, 1950, and he said it before the Foreign Relations Committee. "We shall have world government whether you or not you like it, by conquest or consent. You either consent to it, or we're going to take over. You don't have a choice." I find that interesting. It's going to happen. This has been going on for a long time. But understand this. God already told us this was going to happen. These guys think they're so big and so smart. They're not. They need Jesus really bad, don't they? What we're going to see next is one world religion. And it's interesting to me because in the tribulation period, we see the false prophet who leads the world in this one world religion is going to put the Antichrist into power over this global government. And it's very evil, make no mistake about it. Very evil. And here's the thing. We've moved away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, and the church has adopted a lot of worldly ideas. What do I mean by that? I mean this. Social justice. This is something the church has jumped on this bandwagon. And they support Black Lives Matter, Antifa, which are Marxist organizations. And people see social justice as a good thing. Well, don't we want social justice? Let me ask you this. Don't we have justice? Yes. So what do you mean by social justice? Have you ever asked anyone that? What do you mean by social justice? Because we have justice. We have a law. Merriam-Webster defined justice like this. It's the impartial administration and maintenance of what is just. It involves righteousness, fairness, impartiality, and moral rightness. Yeah, that's what God calls us to do. We see it in many places in the scripture. Isaiah 1:17, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, Exodus 23, 1 through 9, and so on. What about social justice then? That's justice. What is social justice? Social justice is this. Is justice in terms of the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. This itineration of justice is not commanded in the scriptures. Absolutely. Justice pursues what is right according to an absolute, impartial standard. Social justice pursues what is believed to be lacking for some based on what is believed to be possessed by others. Oh, you have a nice car? Look at my car. It's crummy. Give me your car. I deserve it. No, I don't. I didn't work for it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.